There are two ways to get involved in politics in a town where political machines run the show. You can fight them, or you can join them. And some activists have been fighting for years. Here's WNYC's Bridget Bergen with the latest episode in our series, The People's Guide to Power, Queen's Machine Edition.
So you know that scene in that film, The Matrix, where Morpheus tells Neo to choose between the red pill and the blue pill?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The red pill is for the people who believe they're being manipulated by a system they can't control. When you visit Joanne and Donnie Whitehead to talk politics, you start down the rabbit hole by entering their garage in St. Albans.
Thank you so much for letting me come in and check out this war room. Do you ever call it that?
That's what everybody referred to it as.
The walls are plastered with old campaign signs and current election maps. Donnie Whitehead sounds a little like Morpheus when he explains his view on local politics.
In Southeast Queens, it's a private firm running a system, what we call the county machine.
His lingering drawl is from his childhood in North Carolina. He's in his 70s now. He's talking about the Queens County Democratic Committee and the people who run it.
I got involved in this stuff in 1958 back in the South. But the level of obstacles now is much more difficult. But that don't mean you can't do it.
We're also joined by his wife.
My name is Joanne Floyd Whitehead. I am currently supposedly retired.
She knows some people see them as troublemakers, and she doesn't care.
You know, so now don't come back and point at me and say I'm wrong because I'm frustrated. Point at yourself for letting me get to that position.
Donnie and Joanne are in battle with the machine. It's a fight to participate, to hold their elected leaders accountable. They help anyone they meet who wants to join forces with them.
I think literally everybody who on the outside of the machine have come here for assistance.
Right now, this is July, they're helping a new city council candidate go through the whole convoluted process of running for office. An easel displays a neat, hand-printed grid tracking the number of signatures they've collected for Anthony Rivers. You need to submit 450 valid signatures to get on the ballot.
You see the total count? 4,225. We try to do five times the number so they can't pull a lot of tricks.
Once they give you a line by line and say it's wrong, you have to be able to prove that it's right.
It's so much. It's just so many details.
All these details are the tools the machine uses to wield its power. They date back more than a century when they were used by men in bowler hats in the proverbial smoke-filled room. To this day, election lawyers call ballot access in New York a minefield. It's why candidates pay lots of money to consultants, lawyers, and campaign staff. Joanne and Donnie don't take money from anyone. They do it for a different reason.
And this system, without competition, is never going to improve. You can't be locked out like that.
If you have people who have that much control, it's no longer about representing the community. It's about maintaining power.
So sign here.
I meet up later that evening outside of Walgreens in the district, where they were collecting more signatures. And here's their candidate, Anthony Rivers.
I'm just sick and tired of people being ordained into these positions, if you will, and then they get them, and then they do nothing for the community.
He seizes on a dispute over a couple of buildings on Hollis Avenue, where there was talk of opening a homeless shelter. There are already more homeless people sheltered in this part of Queens than anywhere else in the borough.
We're not against homeless people, I want to make that clear, but we're against the inequitable placement of these type of facilities in our area as opposed to spreading it throughout all of Queens.
Rivers and the Whiteheads blame their local elected leaders, who they say are more interested in looking out for themselves than their community. They point to four who were convicted of corruption in the last decade. That's right, you heard me correctly. In the last 10 years, four public officials from Southeast Queens have gone to prison. That's why the Whiteheads are out here gathering more signatures for Rivers, because just getting on the ballot is a challenge.
They don't want you on the ballot, they fight to keep you off, you know? It's an uphill battle all the way.
I sit down with the guy he's battling against, Councilmember I. Danique Miller. We're at one of his favorite lunch spots in the district, a juice and salad bar called the Energy Cafe. I ask him about Rivers and the Whiteheads, and he flips the question back at me.
Who are these folks working with? What are they doing? What is their background? What have they ever done for anyone other than themselves? So that's that, and I sleep well at night knowing that our community has been served.
Miller started off as a labor organizer and then president of the union representing Queens bus drivers. He caught the attention of a neighborhood power broker, and a few years ago, as so often happens in Queens, he got the tap on the shoulder to run for public office.
Councilman called me and says, hey, we need to have a meeting. I want to talk to you about politics, whatever.
Leroy Comrie preceded Miller in the council seat, and he planned to move on and run for Queens Borough president. Miller figured that's what the meeting was about.
They're like, no, this is not that meeting. Well, what meeting is this? This meeting is about who's going to replace him. Oh, they're going to be lined up. Don't worry about it. You tell me who it is, and we'll get behind them. They said, no, we had a meeting, and we thought it should be you, right? I'm like, negative. I have a job. Not going to happen.
Comrie kept calling him, and eventually Miller decided to run. And the thing is, the machine did not back him that year.
I was a labor leader. I was a community activist who was working outside of local politics.
In other words, he had his own machine. But once you are elected, even outsiders become insiders. That's how the machine perpetuates itself. Miller is now on the party's executive committee, and Frank Bowles, the election lawyer who represents all the party regulars, is the attorney of record on Miller's petitions. Anthony Rivers made the ballot anyway. The Whiteheads won that battle, but the machine won the war. Miller beat Rivers by a sizable margin in the primary and faces little meaningful competition in the general election. Back at the Whiteheads' war room, Donnie says they'll continue the fight. Hanging on the wall near the entrance, there's a framed document, a copy of the clerk's report from the time he challenged the machine's petitions and won.
He submitted 1,497. They found 1,076 of them was bad. He only had 420, and he needed 500, so he was off. That's why I keep this on the pot. This is good work.
It's their red pill, just like in The Matrix. That thing that shows them another way is possible, even when you're taking on the machine. Bridget Bergen, WNYC News.